Hey everybody, welcome to the first meeting of 2024 for the DIDWebS task force. I should remind everyone about the Trust over IP antitrust policy that you can see here. Let me post the meeting notes to our comments. And please feel free to add yourself to the attendees list. Let's see, I can do that real quick for who we have. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Small group today, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, I will post the recording for this after the meeting to the meeting notes here. And just a reminder that our work is this is mostly the spec work is occurring here, and we are a registered DID method in the DID registry, and our reference implementation work is happening over at Hyperledger Labs at that link. In terms of reviewing action items, we updated the calendar stuff with Michelle's help. So that was great. Essentially, the 2024 calendar for DIDWebS should be good to go. I did update the equivalent ID and also known as PR to basically say that the equivalent IDs would be included in the also known as list of identifiers is a superset of the equivalent IDs. Stephen Kern and Drummond are working on an additional blog post related to the Who Is features for DIDWebS. I don't have an update on that, but yeah, I mean, that'll be really nice, I think. Yeah, just the original blog post didn't go in into as much about kind of the who is and other features that DIDWebS has that DIDWeb, for instance, does not. Marcus is going to do a read through, and Sam, he did say that in the ACDC Trust over IP meeting was on Tuesday. He did say that the IANA Caesar MIME type registration is one of his top priorities now for the new year. So that's great. And of course, that's related to all the updates he's been doing with the Caesar spec, which of course is important to us. In terms of announcements, the Tech Stack Working Group has a new mailing list for the new charter. So that was kind of all part of the copyright and everything updates that we talked about in 2023. So just make sure that you are on that mailing list as part of this task force. That'll help you keep up to date with all the latest things there. And I added this IIW, since we're in the new year now. IIW Spring 2024 is April 16th through 18th. We had done in, I think it was the 37th one in the fall. Marcus and I had done several sessions on DIDWebS, and I would expect that we'll probably do more sessions on that in April. So, registration, I actually think the super early bird rate is good till January 12th. So, you have a week essentially to get the cheapest rate. Any other announcements that we'd like to add? I guess I should just put on here that the public review period will hopefully end in the middle of January. Yeah, roughly January 15th, but I haven't looked at the calendar in terms of when our meeting falls. We'll probably close it out, whatever is after January 15th that we have this weekly meeting. Okay, maybe I should just check to see what that, where does that fall? Yeah, it looks like that would be the 19th of January, so Likely close it out on January 19th, February, Friday. Okay, cool. Any other announcements? Okay, good stuff. In terms of reports, the blog post, you know, public for the public review was posted. Yeah, it just allows non-trust over IP people and obviously people outside of our task force to you know, take the time to review and supply feedback. Any other reports you'd like to give? Nope. Okay, good. We're moving fast. That's great. All right. So in terms of discussion, obviously, the public review stuff is the most important. And so what I'd like to do is go through our current issues slash milestones. Oops. No. Okay. Actually, I want to go by issue. So I just want to do issues with no milestones because we need to get those logged in. Charles, this one you opened up 2 weeks ago about the ABNF definition stuff.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, the ABNF, you know, kind of section. It's not a full ABNF specification, so you know, I think we should either fill it out or the DID web spec uses the pseudo ABNF that other specs use. So maybe we just take out the ABNF entirely so that people don't get confused.
Okay. Is it, would it be fairly easy for us to have a true ABNF?
Yeah, I might could take a stab at it. The hard part is that we only take ASCII, but yeah, I could look and see how hard that is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm flexible, certainly aligning with like did, yeah, the did web or you know, if did core you know speaks to it, then if we're aligned with them, I think that's pretty good. But
well, neither do. It's just like ABNF is like a strict. Like you should be able to feed an ABNF spec into an ABNF compiler and get a program out.
Yeah,
I've done that before. But without the full spec, you can't do that, and so that's where the wiggle room comes in, defeating the purpose of it. And did web like other specs just use the pseudo ABNF and don't.
Yeah, I'm a big I'm a big believer, Charles. If you could take a look at it, I mean, don't, you know, there's no need for a hero's effort here, but if you can look at it and get it done, you know, Postel's principle of, you know, be very liberal in what we accept, but be very conservative in what we do, what we output. If we actually do really ABNF, let's claim that.
Okay. Well, yeah.
If it's hacky pseudo, well, let's not talk about it.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have right now is it's, Someone added the phrase ABNF, which is why I mentioned it. Otherwise, yeah. I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But yeah, it might not be that hard. I'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Because it's just those few, you know, the things I listed up there, I think that was missing.
Especially as we deal with other as our specs, you know, are getting out there and as we're starting to, you know, become like an early SDO. The other standards dev organizations are going to be looking at us and saying, okay, well, what do they have a high bar for stuff or not? You know, if it's a pseudo spec, a pseudo standard, we'll be treated that way. You know, if we're loose with ABNF, then let's, you know, fix it.
Well, I like ABNF because you can generate, you know, five different parsers immediately. You know,
there's value. Java, there's a reason C++, ABNF exists, right?
Yeah. Yak is pretty good, right? But yeah, I'll take a look at it and see how hard that is.
Great. Thank you. And then I'll put that under the spec 1.0 milestone. So that's good. And then back to our filter, I think it's just sterols, which is good because we want to touch on that. So Daryl, this is fairly large. Do you want to give kind of a summary of what you...
So Drummond and I were going through and looking at a few different things for the overall tech stack working groups, which is why this is not by any means a guinea pig. It's just the first victim. when I say first victim, it is what I just alluded to is raising the bar for when we push things out that we need to get to a higher level of rigor. Part of that is as we look at things like carry, if it goes on an ISO pathway, there's an extremely high bar for use of terminology, use of definitions, removal of non-normative things that are supposed to be normative. So I would say this way, and I know this is being recorded, and I don't want people to misinterpret this. I use the phrase, when I was talking to you earlier this week, we're using the term carry in many places as a crutch, meaning we're saying, see the carry spec. Okay. Is that a normative resource for us to use? If it is, great. Where it isn't, we need to say, okay, cool. Let's back up and say, okay, is there something we need to close off and say, great. And I'm making this up completely because I don't know enough about it, but like if we're pointing to carry and saying carry witness and it's not defined over there, or we don't need carry witness, fix it. That's all. Just close the line off, which leads to a pull request. I'm hoping we'll get a chance to discuss. I do have to stop at a quarter to the hour though. So the overall thing here is we need to take a look at this and say, where are we dependent on upon things that we really aren't? And there seem to be a lot of places where we're referencing docs that aren't, they're certainly adding context and story, which is important, but they're being used in some ways as normative references, which is the problem. We need to close those off. And I don't think it's that hard. We just need to do the effort to do it. Any thoughts, comments on that?
Yeah, I would love to explore that because I think you're exactly right. But so I think the carry witness actually is a really good example. So are the examples that we're doing in the reference implementation starts with, you know, kind of a non-witness specified example, right? So this is like literally, it's just an inception event. Perfect. It has no witnesses. However, even though that is like the most bare minimum of like an identifier that you could create with carry, an AID that you could create, and then kind of becomes the minimum did WebS did, the usefulness of that is very limited, right? So help me to understand if the most common case would be that they're using witnesses and witness receipts and all those things.
Well, let me check that assumption. Yeah. You have no evidence that that's the most common case except for the carry realm. If you're already doing a resolver that is not requiring that, you've just proved one of two things. And this is by no means, I'm sounding a little more structured than my brain really is. You've either defined two versions of DidWebS, DidWebS and DidWebS Plus, or whatever you want to call this thing. Like DidWebS is the bare minimum, lightweight, doesn't do carry, but it does KELS and does and blah, blah. It does X, but not X Plus. And then here's the full bowl version. Great. Is that two standards? Because if you're already doing the lightweight implementation that does not do parts of this, you kind of just prove the point that we only have to go so far. And there may be a very, very valid business case that says DidWebS is this and DidWebS carry or DidWeb carry S, whatever you want to call it, is the next step on that pathway. What do you think of that, Lance?
So I do think that both examples are carry. So I don't think I'm.
So if it's carry, so let me throw this in. What is carry? Yeah.
So carry is a protocol.
No, it's not. Right now, it's a set of five specifications that are being worked on at Trust Over IP, including CSER. We may need one for AIDs. Do you see where I'm getting? You need to be able to hard, rigidly define what is carry. And pointing to a 200-page white paper is not defining that.
Okay, well, what would define it?
So if I back up to when we're using an AID, in this specification, define AID. When I'm using encoding for a KEL, if a KEL is a CSER encoded stream of data, great. What is Caesar? Good. We have a spec. We're underway on that one. Perfect. What's in the list? Show me what's in the list. Don't hand wave and say it's defined and carry. And you may or may not need all of it. That's not a spec, right? If you've already, I'm really excited that you've got the work underway and you've already, it sounds like you've already done the quote bare minimum, but you may think it's not overly useful because it needs to go further. What you used was the most, your phrase was the most commonly used.
All right. I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying, but let me come at it from the did side. So the did document, for instance, will list your services. Those services that are helpful for securing your did, given your AID, witnesses will be like a core portion of that. And carry, literally an inception event for carry, allows you to specify witnesses. That's different than like other services, right? So although although having something like an air a carry agent that's, you know, on your behalf in the cloud, I would agree that that might be like more tangential and doesn't necessarily need to be included in the spec. But in terms of witnesses, just because of their very special status, that is supposed to help for the decentralization and.
I understand the concept of witnesses.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Why is your existing implementation over at Hyperledger Labs not using witnesses?
Well, no, I just started with that because I knew it was the, like, I wanted to show the simplest form of an inception event.
So this is the Gordian knot that I'm trying to cut here. It is, why did you do that? And the reason is you want to do the very basic pieces to start building upon, right? And that's how you get to a specification that is fully normative and useful. When I say useful, when I hear things like pseudo ABNF, I'm like, oh, okay, that is subject to interpretation, which means as long as I'm using the same code base, it'll work. But the minute I look at a different code base, they may interpret it differently, which means the specification will not get adoption because there's confusion in the market. This is the same thing back in the, I don't know if you're old enough, Lance, to remember when, and then one of the reasons that the name of Trust Over IP is what it is John came up with the term because he was remembering the life cycle of TCP/IP. When you had many implementations of TCP/IP, they just did not work together. There was a time when everyone said there's a 3-com test bed that if you can meet that thing, we will plug in with you. If not, just bugger off. We're not going to talk to you. You're not TCP/IP. And then they finally got to the level where, yes, they agreed that the specification was rigorous enough that they could test against it. One of the reasons to start out with the simple thing, which you've done, is to start building that test harness to say, this is did WebS compatible, did WebS capable. The more complexity you add to it, the harder that is to prove. So the specification, we as an org need to decide how good are our specifications? What's the bar we're setting? And if we're setting a low bar where it's a loose specification that's subject to interpretation, great. Let's do that consciously. If we're setting the bar that says we need to actually close things off and have a really solid spec that's normative, then we just have work to do. And I could sit down with a few of us and say, okay, let's start picking away at it. And I don't think it's that hard. I think we've actually added complexity to this particular spec that is not necessarily helping because we haven't cut apart these things.
So if the idea is to be able to have did WebS support as much of carry's security capabilities, right? It's features that are meant for security. What would it take for us to state that and I think that was our intention in this spec is to basically say carry is a first first principles approach at secure identity, we want to adopt those characteristics, witnesses being one of the mechanisms for, you know, defeating, you know, issues with like forking of a kel, or, you know, so essentially fraudulent, you know, activity related to a kel. And so what do we have to point to on the carry side? You know, you said it's not
I would say here's it's not an allergic reaction. I'm flinching every time you say, what do we have to point to on the carry side? It's really hard to point right now at the carry side other than the white paper. I mean, the white paper is a fantastic piece of work. Please don't misunderstand me. When we already have five specifications in flight right now, ranging from Caesar to, I'm not even sure the names of all of the, it was on my holiday homework, which didn't happen, to go through all those specs. Why are we not pointing at those as the definitive and normative answers than the paper itself? If we can point to the specs and say, yes, this one is in draft, great. At least people know that an answer is coming, as opposed to go do your own homework, read it, and interpret it as you will.
Okay, so for instance, we have normative references here.
Jump back up where you just were, because normative references versus normative declarations, or when we go through the normative things we're saying, that you need to have this, go see the white paper. Well, that's not an answer. I'm like, you were just highlighting something. You had a text earlier.
Yeah, I can't remember where I was. I mean, core characters... I guess I can just hit go.
This right here, 9.2.2. And this might be just an arbitrary, it's a good, sorry, you were going to say something, Charles, or?
Oh, sorry, I just wanted to jump in. I'm for more or less rigor, whatever the group decides. Certainly more rigor is better. I'm with you, Daryl. I probably read a thousand digital identity specs in the past couple of years, and the rigor leaves a lot to be desired in 90% of them. So I guess my only comment is, I think the spec we have written right now is as rigorous as the DID web spec, which they use pseudo ABNF. That's how I first noticed it. So I guess I only wanted to point out that I feel like our quality is the same level as the herd, but if we want to be more rigorous, you know, that's always better. It'll just might take some more time, right?
Right. So I guess the question is why are we doing DID web S if DID web is sufficient on two things? One, it is sufficiently well defined, but two, it's useful. 3 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like they invented a useful identity spec, right? But
Cole, are you jumping in the call? We can't hear you. Can we mute him?
Sure.
Oh, thank you. Cole got it.
Oh, and then he did it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess what I'm just pointing out is that did web wrote a pseudo spec, you know, not very rigorous.
And that's the, but to your point, not very rigorous, but getting some action.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe that the level of action that did web is getting right now is in 3 years going to be in any way meaningful.
Definitely.
Right. So some action is, I'm of the mind that if we're going to be doing things like let's jump a different level. If the group for Did Web S wants to say, hey, we're at least as good quality wise as Did Web, then fine. Let's go into it eyes wide open, make that statement as an organization, not in the spec itself, to say, hey, we're kind of squishy. We're not going to say that. But we need to consciously decide that's the bar we're setting for this. The other specifications we're working on, though, that is nowhere near sufficient a bar. Nowhere near. Any spec that wants to go and promulgate on to ISO, for example, this would be destroyed. Like I've chaired specs in Oasis, been involved in various different other spec organizations that I was chair of, and the rigor is unfortunately brutal. I am, by the way, in case you don't know me, I am not a details guy in any way, shape, or form. I'm a big picture guy. but I've had to push things through standards, which is unbelievably banal and painful.
Yeah.
So do you think, so our spec is very clear that id web is a small subset, you know, for us. It's more of like we are using did web in terms of its familiarity, and obviously it's you know, its discoverability right on the web. But then kind of the rest of our spec is essentially carry, and how that is reflected in this kind of did web looking API, you know, as a did document. So I guess a couple questions. I think it's totally fine. I want to know from you, do you think it's fine that we have a 1.0 spec that's maybe not ready for ISO, in the sense that the normative reference specs such as, yep, you know, Caesar, Ubi spec, you know, carry,
whatever the other ones are. Yeah.
Yeah,
yep,
sure.
Yep. Yep.
That kind of those all need to mature together to kind of, you know, approach the ISO bar, if you will. Does that seem like kind of the direction that this is heading in your mind?
I think that would be so I'm always, you know, I would love to see I mean let's take a look, just not at the details of the spec, but the idea of, you know, HTTP 1.0 to HTTP 1.1. You have HTTP 2 and HTTP 3 are in use, but you can still find lots and lots of working examples of HTTP 1.1. Good luck finding a 1.0. It didn't freaking work, but it started the ball rolling, gave us a target to work towards, and then say, this is just broken. This is unclear. Fix it. 1.1 comes in. Boom. That's when adoption really took off, right? If the goal is to get something out there as a, not a placeholder, it's a wrong term, I think you'll get my drift, to start the ball rolling, knowing we're going to need to do cleanup, then fine. That's my personal opinion. We as an org need to decide if that's fine. I would like to, though, if we could look at the PR to start that freaking ball rolling of cleaning it up too.
Yeah.
Just a few examples to say, this is what good looks like. And in 6 months, it's not going to be good enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that's good with kind of how we're formulating the milestones, you know, the spec 1.0 release being something, yep, you know, soon. I put a date on this just, you know, before IIW, but obviously, you know, it could be a 6 month or whatever for the 1.1, yeah, release. That does feel like kind of the direction this is heading. That's cool that you have.
I like the numbers you use too, by the way. It's a perfect analogy with HTTP.
Yeah. That's wild. Okay.
And we did the same thing in the geospatial realm in the 90s, where there's a standard called web mapping standard, which forked off. And if you ever see Google Maps with the tiles coming down, that was the progenitor for that. But I remember, if you go look at any GIS services, there was a 2.0 effort, but every freaking map service on the planet will support it with WMS 1.3.1. Every one of them. It was sufficient. It was well enough spec'd. It was consistent and it was useful. And anything they added after that, no one cared.
Okay. Yeah, very good. ISO. Okay. So I think that's good. I'm just trying to think in terms of the issue as it stands.
How about we close, not close, but we can take this one out of band. If you put your comment in,
okay,
I'll put some more thoughts in and we may be able to just close it off out of band and or just note it as a, there should be something that comes out of this that says we are consciously doing this and we know that there's a 1.1 pathway and that this bar will get higher. You're having GitHub problems like me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's march towards it together. That's really good.
Well, and that's the whole effort, is because there's a few things going on in parallel. I don't know, is Hank involved in this particular group?
Yes.
So Hank, I don't know Hank. I'm wondering, I see there's more people not here. But Drummond mentioned that Hank is also working on this terminology approach with the two square brackets, def, two square brackets, ref. He's also working with Drummond on how do we codify the glossary, because we've reached this point with trust over IP writ large, where we have a few things that are in flight that need to land. One is the glossary. I would like to use this even in a baby step, which leads to the PR that I have in, to say, okay, cool, we're going to land a few of these. Not all of them, but we're going to land a few of them. As an example, one of the terms from this type from the trust over IP glossary is a self-certifying identifier. We have had the prior term of art was autonomous identifier, what trust over IP was calling autonomous identifier, which an autonomic identifier is a type of self-certifying identifier. It's also the only known type right now. To create a spec where there is only one solution is a horrific idea. To create a spec that there were N solutions, of which one has already been created, that's incredibly powerful. So I would like this, for example, in that PR, I have self-certifying identifier in as part of the trust over IP glossary that I think is important for this particular specification. I don't know what you think.
Seems reasonable.
I see what you mean.
Well, and yeah, aids and skids and construction. I mean, Sam's construction of the aid, the autonomic identifier. You could use other crypto with it. It's a particular implementation right now.
Yep.
But I guess that's why I think it was kind of hand waved away a lot of places, is that the construction just mandates, a few properties, right? That they be able to derive the key, that it's unique over the global domain, and that it's, I think there was like a third one, but I forgot it. But that hasn't been pulled out into a spec itself yet, although it was like listed on the carry list of white papers, I think.
But again, if we can close things off, because you end up with this infinite loop of recursion, where you this definition is like, I can't close it. If you can't close it, it's unbelievably hard to build to it. It's really easy to shoot down a spec as child's play, as a toy. Yeah. But like you said, did web is.
But then, and my only pushback is like most of the internet has worked that way, right? Like if I think of most of the protocols people use every day.
Totally. But if you take a look at, where is ABNF actually used? Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Is when I look at specs that like, ABNF is a good spec. I like that. I mean, it's used a lot of places, but when I think about protocols people actually use, it's like a lot of them were just RFCs that were kind of hand waved away in an implementation or two. And then eventually the market converged.
Well, exactly. What we're trying to do is because we have this bigger story with the trust spanning protocol, with the five specs that are in flight, which I would call the carry specs, who knows what they're going to be called. If they hit ISO, they'll be called ISO 35462 for all we know. Right. We have no idea what the freaking name is going to be. But to put the rigor in now on a few key points, saying these are hills that we will die on, because without them, it's too squishy. And I don't want to have a lot of hills, by the way. I don't like fighting on 17 hills.
So I guess the spec as written right now, the only hills we'd have to die on right now, 1.0, is the Caesar stream, the well-known as, the MIME types and various things we've set down in stone. The rest
I will say there's another one, which is SKID. Which is self-certifying identifier, that an autonomous identifier is a type of SKID.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not a very big hill.
It's important. No. Yeah, I'm not against add glossary terms all day. That doesn't bother me. for sure.
Well, but to the points, that if you look at the PR that I put in, there's actually quite a bit of discussion from Lance and Steven, which is correct.
Yeah.
Where does it stop, and where should we point to the trust over IP glossary? My answer on a spec is, you can't point to a Google document that's editable in a spec.
Right.
You just can't. If you have a keyword, which the only one that I would say is worth, not necessarily, right now I would say the one that is clearly worth fighting over to me is the SKID, self-certified identifier. One that's easy to dispose of is the one you have at the top there, number on line 15, the cryptographically verifiable. It's like, oh, come on. Like to Stephen's point, it's like, come on. Do we really need to have that? Well, then fine. We just have no link to point to. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just consciously say, do not link. Just leave it as a freaking two words beside each other. They're not a referenced or defined term. Fine. Cool.
Yeah,
maybe this one as well, right? Like third party.
These are ones that that I was doing this to kind of overprove a point.
Yeah.
But also I was also in discussion with Drummond saying, when is the glossary being hardened? Because this is not tolerable now. Which is nice because this DID WebS is a softer specification right now. But it gets that closure loop going where we actually say, no, we are closing the terms off. We are, we're revising these things appropriately.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I that helps me much more. Yeah. In terms of framing this, what will it take for, because I did sense that this PR is not like ready to be put in the spec, right? So if somebody's public reviewing this,
what's wrong with it in that case?
Yeah, let's talk about that too.
If you have an over provision of glossary terms, fine, comment. Now the package JSON thing that I managed to do, that was I've turfed it. I figured out what that problem was.
Okay.
If it's the conclusion of to-dos, maybe we need to turn these into issues then.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. Right. I mean, we can add and remove terminology. And so, yeah, I would be okay with that. I didn't want to add more to-dos as we're approaching the 1.0 because, obviously we're trying to remove to-dos. So if we could.
So maybe you and I could visit. I have to arrive for run in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe you and I could visit to say, which of these do we turn into issues and which of these do we just dispose of?
Okay.
Great. I'll do an effort myself to look at that.
Yeah.
Because we need to know what is the 1.1 work ahead of us.
Yeah.
And the world needs to know that. But to your point, it doesn't make sense to be inline commentary, Daryl spewing about whatever type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. And so then I think I always like to kind of frame these in 6 month blocks. And so IIWs are useful for that, because that's tends when we kind of go public with something. So I do think that it, we could consider that one of the things that we're kind of pitching at IIW in April is, here's the DID WebS spec, and this is how we're marching. This is our roadmap to marching towards ISO.
Yeah. What's the theme of 1.1 or not even ISO for DID WebS, because it may or may not be part of that, right?
Okay.
Wherever we're going, is that we're marching that's towards 1.1 is we're raising the bar. We wanted to be at least as crisp as DID Web, but we recognize there are some areas where we are not quite as normative as we need to be. There's not enough clarity. 1.1 is going to be more clear in the following ways. It's also going to integrate with the trust over IP broader picture in the following ways. We could easily come up with that. I really like that. That's really, really awesome.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, Daryl. I know you're going to have to jump here. But,
yeah, I have to jump. But I do want to say to everybody, awesome freaking work. This is awesome. It's now at the point, okay, now you have to get to this level of work before you can say, okay, this is the level of rigor we're going to need to get to. When it's just airy-fairy, we have no clue. Great. Fun.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, thank you.
Most of the digital identity world.
Well, it's not even, yeah. I mean, I look at DID Web as, it's a URL. Okay. You put DID in front of it.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, I'm with you, Daryl. Like, I just, that's my comment on, like, reading a bunch of specs, probably in a in a row like I've done, the level of rigor is oftentimes a lot desired in my mind. There's a lot of hand waving in a bunch of specs once you get down into the weeds.
Like, I've been working with Drummond on asking some hard questions on, not hard, some hard questions on, you know, VID, verifiable identifier, DID, decentralized identifier, SKID, self-certifying identifier, and what do they really mean? And and when we get down to these principles and stuff, which I just shared a quick diagram, which Drummond will be sharing again later elsewhere. If we get to closure on these things where things stop referring to each other or referring to a nebulous cloud of ideas, that's really freaking good.
Yeah.
So cool. I need to jump, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Daryl.
Again, I'm really excited about where this is.
Yeah. Great. Well, we're glad to have you. So thanks for weighing in on it.
No problem. Happy New Year. And thanks again. Bye, guys.
Okay.
Happy New Year, Daryl.
Okay. Good. That was, pretty much exactly the conversation I wanted to have related to the things Daryl was bringing up. So that's super great. Any other kind of issues or things I should create related to this in anybody's opinion?
For this, no. I mean, I guess for that whole kind of conversation is maybe I would love to help. But maybe I would need rules of thumb from Daryl about what is and isn't, because he does have a good point that, like, we do have a lot of stuff that's not, you know, like the CRAM section isn't necessary to the DIDWebS spec. It's helpful to describe what you can do with it. But I guess as an editor kind of person or a reviewer, a rule of thumb about what we put in, what we don't put in on like a meta level would be helpful if you could work that out, since you're, you know, you and Daryl are figuring out this whole 1.1 thing.
Yeah, I actually the
like rules of thumb or meta rules, because I could think of a lot of things I would take in or put out, but based on like what the group wants, I didn't, you know, I don't want to just do that unilaterally myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if we could talk about CRAM for a second, just because I do think that you're right, that falls in a kind of funny space, but I can't remember if you were attending the meetings when we're talking about the kind of security characteristics concept that was pretty early.
Right.
I
was there. Well, I think that's one of the problems that maybe we didn't talk about with Daryl just now is depending on what security characteristics we incorporate from Carrie, we gain a lot more security or a lot less security than, depending on what we put in there. I think that's why it's a little nebulous right now, is that if we do full KEL backing for everything, DIDWebS is very, very secure and gets all the carry stuff, and you need witnesses, and you need all that kind of jazz. But then if you had kind of a KEL signed by a controller that's not witness with a DIDWebS, that'd probably work too for some security contexts. And I think that depending on what you put in, what you don't put in, the security scope gets a little muddy from a spec perspective. You know what I mean? And I think that's why for Daryl, it's nebulous. Is like, do we need witnesses? Well, no, you don't necessarily need them for some security context, but then for a really high security context, you do need them. So, you know what I mean?
Maybe we
should make that more clear in the spec, like some kind of hierarchy or some kind of security attributes or something. I mean,
the security characteristics section was, you know, basically, you know, KELBAC is the highest security, right? And I think we even say, like, you know, high, medium, and low. Part of the reason we wanted to specify that is because it was very hard, you know, early on to kind of say, what does the S in DIDWebS mean? Like, what is security, right? That's a nebulous term as it is. So we were trying to help, you know, even just us to decide what we were willing to put in the spec that may or may not seem secure, right? Like, obviously KEL backing everything is the most secure, but then also, is it reasonable?
Yeah, I think I remember that. I think my comment was more just to, like, maybe for Daryl, if we were able to rigorously, instead of just kind of like saying the high, medium, and low, maybe if we were able to rigorously say, like, you would need this and this and this for this security context, or this for the security context, then it would be clear to a spec reader who came out of the blue.
I see.
you know, what the security context is for Did WebS given some, you know, infrastructure or whatever.
Right. Okay. I do think those actions, I don't know if they still do, but, you know, they give some examples in terms of, you know, when it's appropriate, but I see what you're saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. They give a non-normative description, right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying like for a normative, like for Daryl's normative rigorous references.
Yeah.
We could explicitly say like, this would require this infrastructure. This would require this infrastructure. This only requires this. So it's very clear to the reader, you know, what the normative requirements are. Maybe that would help him. But once again, like we come back to that, like as a reviewer, just let me know what our meta rules are for what we include and we don't include, because I think that's where things get nebulous is that the versatility of carry is what makes it nebulous sometimes when we write about it, because it can do all kinds of things. Like it's very, you know, what I like about it, I was talking about Kent yesterday. What I like about it is that you can, you know, add or subtract a bunch of things in what you're running with carry and get a lot more or a lot less security depending on your needs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, so just in terms of like the meta rules that you're talking about, give me a, for instance, in terms of, I think both examples are good. So in terms of CRAM or just in terms of witnesses in general, what would you see as like a meta rule that would allow us to determine?
Well, it's kind of what Daryl's talking about. A meta rule would be like, we are going to assume that they know things. I mean, we are going to assume the reader knows what, you know, cryptographically verifiable means and without including definition, but we're not going to assume they know what AEIDs mean. I guess AEIDs aren't in the spec, but that's an example of like, it seems like there's a level from like carry specific all the way to general cryptography, and maybe we could like not have much of this, but we include all the carry specific stuff with strict definitions. Or point to a glossary somewhere. Maybe that's a meta rule for a reviewer to go, okay, this should be or shouldn't be in the spec. Because I think like if I took Daryl's mindset and went really rigorous, I'd probably remove a bunch of stuff, but then keep a bunch of stuff. But definitely, I don't know if that would be the group consensus, because I think everyone would pick a different section they might include or remove based on their particular reading of it.
Yeah.
If they were in that like rigorous state of mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Well, then maybe what we can do is, obviously for 1.0, I think we'll probably change as little as possible, but as we fill out the issues for milestone for 1.1, we should kind of try to prioritize, and see if we can come up with at least like a top five list that allows us to say, you know, these five sections or topics, you know, should be fleshed out more or, you know, reduced, and just maybe go through that exercise for a week or two as a task force and kind of see where we, if we're making progress towards, you know, more rigor without just everyone disagreeing. Yeah, because I have no idea actually, you know, where that would land. But, you know, obviously, I, as a computer scientist, I would love for it to land somewhere that's more specific, right? That people is solid ground for, and especially if, you know, related to ISO things. So,
no, I'm with you. And like I said earlier, I think we hit Did Web. Like Did Web is written, we're written more rigorously than Did Web right now, I think. Having read the Did Web spec recently, comparing them, you know, as I was reading the Did Web us. But yeah, and I guess everyone left, so we can bring this up next time. But the international domain name on the discussion, I don't know if you, I did that. Like if you click on the discussions there on the, I didn't make it an issue, but I filed this as a discussion. Maybe we can bring it up next time. But Did Web does not allow international domain names. They only allow ASCII-based domain names because of homograph attacks, you know, like where they, you know, use similar characters from English to some other language in the Unicode to, like, trick people.
Yeah.
Well, with VIDs, we would have extra protections against those kind of homograph attacks. So we actually could probably make our spec include international domain names.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be a good 1.1 target too, just so we're better than DidWeb.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to make that an issue or if we just open it as an open discussion at some point, but I wanted to bring that up with more people involved.
Let's see. Yeah.
Because you included my PR already that says we don't support it to match the web, but I definitely think we could, like Sam thinking about it for 2 minutes, probably come up with a good solution.
Let's create an issue from it. Do you? Wow. I'll assign it for you.
Okay.
Oh.
Daidoji, I think. Sorry. DAI.
Yeah. DAI. Why is that not?
You could try Charles Linehan.
Yeah, it seems this is a much more restricted list than normal.
It's at DAIDOJI. Let's see if that works. DAIDOJI.
DOJI. Yeah, it's not.
All right. Well,
fascinating. Okay. Well,
whatever. But yeah, we can target
1.1. Let me submit the issue.
We can target 1.1 and,
Let me try that one more time. No. That is weird.
It's weird. DOJI, yeah.
D-O.
No, sorry.
D-A-I. Oh, yeah. D-A-I.
D-O-J-I.
O-J-I. All right. Well, okay. good discussions today. Anything else?
No, I think it's just you and me now.
I think I do want this to get merged. Let's see. What's the status here?
This was like, what's wrong with it? I thought this was already merged.
It just needs a review. And so I don't. I think Marcus. I mean, obviously with the holidays and stuff. Okay. So we may want to add you also as a reviewer, but let's.
No, I'll be glad to help. So tag me or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I may have to set your status to be able to. I'd probably. I don't know. Let's try it again with DAO.
Oh, DAI. Sorry.
DAIDOJI, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I might have to set your permissions so that you can be included as a reviewer. Okay, so I'll do that.
Cool, Lance.
Okay.
The spec was good. I'm sorry I didn't get around to it until the holidays, but I finally got to it.
Oh, no. That's amazing that you got to it and that you were here today. So, yeah, cool. That's great. Right, okay. Yeah. Good meeting. Talk to you later.
Happy New Year.